This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. We are at the top of the hour. Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Kim is in for Tracy at the moment. Tracy had an appointment, so she'll be joining us soon. It's so convenient having Kim. Oh my gosh. We didn't start the top of the hour like we normally do, so I'm like all discombobulated. But it's very convenient having Kim up in the office. We can just say, Kim, come on down. I need your help down here. But anyway, without any further ado, we have a packed studio in here. We are joined with the crew from the yard, which, we were just chatting just a tiny bit. They're undergoing some transformations over there. And we're joined with the daughter, Joya Doucette is the daughter. And then we're joined with Ken, who is a friend of the family. And then in a little bit, we're going to chat with the brewmaster and hear what is going to be new over at the yard. So, and I think there's even like a new name, too. And I didn't realize the original name, which we're going to open it up with Joya. I just want to welcome all of you to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy and Kim's in for Tracy. And we were just chatting a little bit about the yard. I didn't realize the original name of the yard. So welcome on, Joya.
Hi, how you doing, everyone?
Good.
The original name went back to when my father first purchased it, and across the street was a junkyard. So he actually called it the Junkyard Bar.
Wow.
And a little bit later, they were like, you should just like make it a little bit, change the name. So he's like, all right, I'll drop the name Junk. So then he just called it the Yard. So that was in 1975. And it's still the yard now, obviously, but the renovations, we want to change the name to the Backyard Brewery, kind of play on the yard, and we're going to put the brewery in the back of the yard, so why not call it the Backyard? So
that's where love it.
The name. I do too.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you, I mean, I'm, you know, of course I'm not going to ask you how old you are. But,
I already did.
It's okay.
So you grew up in the business.
I did, yeah. I started dressing the salads when I was like 10 years old and started busing when I was 13.
So you said 1975?
1975,
yep. See, my parents bought Belmont Hall
in
76. So I started the same way. I mean, we started as dishwashers. Right? I mean, we know the whole, the whole gamut of it. And that is so cool. So have you always worked for the family business, or did you leave and come back and...
I have. Yeah, I went to school for hospitality, so it was just kind of the pathway I took, and I'm still on it.
Good for you. So, Ken, what is your, I know you're a friend of the family, and I think part of the ownership, so what, talk to me.
So, I've been a friend of the family since I was obviously super little, and looking for something new to get involved in, I decided to join the venture with Ron. And this transformation's been pretty interesting. It's something that I truly believe is something that's needed for the city and in our area. It's a pretty prime location. There's a lot going on in that area with a lot of industrial business, as well as the town itself, developing into, you know, more of an industrial area by the airport, and even the local community. I live in Londonderry, and Londonderry itself doesn't really have a whole lot of restaurants itself with and or breweries. And where this is going to be a brewery and a restaurant, it should
Prime.
Make for a pretty nice location.
Very fun. Very fun. I mean, you know, in the yard, I mean, I remember as a kid, because I think when we first had Belmont Hall, my parents, we weren't open on the weekends. You know, I mean, it was so weird when you think about it now,
right.
You know, and we used to go to the yard, used to have your Sunday buffet, which I believe you still have.
Absolutely. Yes,
yeah.
We do.
That is like a staple. You know, you talk to people about the, you know, the yard breakfast buffet. It's like, oh my goodness. You know, been around like a long, long time, long time. And then I can remember, oh gosh, that's probably back in like my early 20s, going to the, you know, to the back, to like the live bands in the back was so fun. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. I've only heard stories about those, but I heard it was really fun.
We'll leave it at that. It was really fun.
So what are some of the changes that you can share with us? Because I mean, we're really excited. Like we said, well, Carol's been there forever. I've been going since I was a little kid. So we did go recently with the kids before Christmas. We took them for a brunch. It's been years since I've done that. They loved it. You know, and it's something like we kind of forgot about it and we want to, you know, head back. So what's new that you can share with all of us that want to go back, who haven't been in a while, and just in general?
Well, we aren't open just yet. We're planning on opening end of May, early June. Right
but
now,
hold on. I'm sorry. I don't want to.
Oh, sorry.
But the yard is open.
Right.
The yard is
okay,
open.
Okay. I want to
yes.
make sure that people know that you are open. But
exactly.
as far as like changes, so changes are in the works right now. And okay, I just don't want people to think that you're closed. That's why.
Yes. The yard is still open. The backyard is not yet open.
Got
right.
it.
So right now we're going through construction periods. We're just transforming the whole inside, and we're actually posting on Facebook and Instagram all of the changes that we've been doing. And the name is The Backyard Brewery NH, and that's both Facebook and Instagram. So people can follow along there. We've just been doing a bunch of different things. We're going to be putting in a 7-barrel brew house, and I'm sure Paul will get to that later. But, yeah, we've been changing a lot. I don't know if you want to add anything, Ken.
Yeah, just that the back half of the facility is the part that's really being renovated. As you said, the front part is still operational, the bar and the restaurant, until the back is fully renovated in the backyard. So the day the backyard brewery opens up, the front will close down, potentially for phase two project.
Okay.
Yeah, for future projects. Kind of not totally determined yet what's going to go back there, so that's still the mystery, but still is going to be operational for functions. The upstairs is still operational for functions right now. But even the lower half, where the stage was, it's been removed. The backstage area has all been renovated as well. What people probably would remember is the sunken dance floor has now been filled in. It'll have drainage in there exactly where the brew system will be set up on top of, is where that sunken dance floor was. So it definitely will look different. It'll be all behind nice glass. It'll be lit up very nicely. So it'll be a new look for where the dance floor area used to be. People probably have those old memories looking in there. But
if these floors could talk.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. For sure. And so the look will be very unique. Nobody's got a look that's going to look like the inside of this facility. It definitely is coming along. People can follow the progress on Facebook and Instagram, like Joya had said. But it definitely will. It'll be a nice location for people to come visit.
Very fun.
Ooh, how about your menu? Are you doing changes to your menu as well?
Yeah, our chefs are actually working on that. It will change. Some things will remain the same, but they're looking to do a whole new menu with a whole new feel. So, yeah, that will also change. So if you have a favorite meal at the yard, come on down, because
you never know.
So really, you know, listeners out there, that, of course, I'm sure you remember the yard. I mean, it's been around for, you know, many years. You know, I mean, you get the yard, you get the back room. You know, they're like,
yeah.
they're staples.
Right.
They're staples.
Landmarks.
Landmarks, exactly. Before we go on a break and then send in your brewmaster, let's just, you know, if you haven't been to the yard lately, you better get over there before they start making all these renovations and check it out. I know that because my husband and I did go a few months ago, and you have a great bar back there. You know, what are the hours, and you know, what can you expect on the menu right now?
It's the same menu right now. They have a dining room menu and then the pub menu as well. Hours for, we do a lunch buffet as well.
That's in the main restaurant?
In the main restaurant. Ah. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And that's 11:30 to 3-ish or so. And then they open up the dining room for dinner. The dining room is open until 9. And then the bar, which is just the pub menu, burgers, sandwiches, things like that, that will be open. That's open during the lunch time until about 10. Weekends, it stays open until 1.
Till like midnight, yeah. 1 o'clock. Like an, right. And then Sundays, of course, you have the breakfast buffet.
The breakfast buffet, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's 10:30 till around 2:30 or so.
All right.
And we're also open for Easter brunch. We
that must be like a huge day for you.
Huge, yeah. So we open up both the yard and then the Executive Corp Bank facility behind there for our larger parties. And we're still accepting reservations now for that. So
beautiful. So listeners, get on in, give them a call, schedule up to go see them for Easter. You're listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Kim is in for Tracy at the moment. We are going to go on a short break. And when we come back, we're going to sit and talk with the brewmaster of the new yard called the Backyard Brewery NH. So we'll be right back.
After these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Kim's in for Tracy at the moment, but I do see Tracy
in the window.
In the room. Okay, and we have with us, we have a few more minutes to chat with the yard people. That is the yard that we're talking about over in Londonderry. I always say on the V.
Yeah.
Because it's on the V, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows where the yard is. It's on the V. And we are going to chat right now because they're in the process right now of undergoing some huge transformations, it sounds like. And we're talking with Paul St. Ange. You are, I hear, the brewmaster.
I am the brewmaster, yes.
So what makes you the brewmaster? Talk to me.
I guess they were silly enough to give me the keys to the car and let me start making beer for them. So it's a great opportunity, and I'm really thankful for it. But mostly just a lot of time spent in the industry and learning and listening to everybody that you could possibly get to speak about beer and craft beer. So I've been doing it a long time. So.
Now, have you been doing it like personally at home or also?
Both, yes. My father had me capping bottles at 6, 7 years old in my parents' kitchen. So,
So you've been doing it. Okay.
So I was always around beer and was always kind of immersed in the beer culture. My father was kind of he was enamored with it. And started interning and learning in the professional industry probably about 10 years ago, off and on the weekends, at nights, and just in general working with them. So learning industrial equipment and learning the trade in that way.
And, you know, we have like a beer segment on here, and I've learned so much about beer.
There's so much to learn.
It's like a science.
Yes.
I mean, it's you know, with the hops and the this and the that and the wheat and the, you know, Tracy. Tracy's on. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. I decided to join you.
I'm glad. I haven't seen you for so long.
I know. You've been busy.
You too. Both of us have been busy. They're making me feel guilty. But anyway, we're talking about
trying
beer.
A little bit. I know. I love when we have beer people on.
It's fun.
Yeah.
You
and I've learned so much. You just said that. We like neither one of us, I think, knew much about beer up to this point. And with MHP and everything, we're starting to become quite the beer connoisseurs.
Great. Yeah. I'm
not sure about connoisseurs, but I've actually gone to Abel Ebenezer.
Yeah, yeah, down
That's
in Merrimack.
That's the one in Merrimack.
Yep, yep, great place.
And I did a flight.
Awesome. That's the best place to start.
Right? But, you know, it was, I mean, and we've talked about this before. It was fun. I was sitting next to, and I can't remember his name, and then I feel bad that I don't remember
Carl?
His name.
Owner?
No, it wasn't the owner. He has a, he's one of MHP's friends, and I think he has his own, anyway, I was talking to somebody that knew
they're all brewers.
Yep. They, you know, he was a beer guy. So it was really nice to sit next to someone, because my husband's not really a, I mean, he likes beer, but not
right.
like a brew, beer, you know, connoisseur.
Right.
So it was nice, what I'm trying to get at, it was nice sitting next to someone that knew about beer, and he was, like, telling me what to expect before I took the sip.
Exactly.
And, you know, what it goes well with, and, you know, I've always only done that because I am a wine drinker, you know, do it with wine.
Yeah.
And then when they start talking about beer, it's like, oh, my goodness.
It's the same with beer. You can you can pair with foods. It has the same level of complexity as a wine would. There's so much to learn with, especially now it's kind of in a revolution of ingredients and raw materials that the sky's the limit in terms of tasting. You know, with new hop profiles, you can get pretty artsy with beer. And that's our goal at Backyard is to not only cater to everyone from kind of the discerning craft beer enthusiast to the newbie, to the husband or wife that may not like beer, but likes going out for a nice dinner or meal. So we plan to have a pretty comprehensive tap list that covers some really traditional recipes that are nice and clean and tasty to getting pretty wild with flavors and experimenting with some things for, you know, kind of that true, in quotes, craft beer enthusiast.
Okay, and for those of you just joining us, we are you are listening to Food for Thought with Carolyn Tracy. Tracy is in now. We're talking with the crew over at the Yard Restaurant, which is undergoing some renovations right now. It's going to be called the Backyard Brewery. And we're talking with the brewmaster, Paul. So when, and listeners, you can also like them on Facebook page to follow the, you know, the transformations that are happening. They're going to have pictures and it'll give you some information. When about is there like some kind of a date about possibly?
Yeah, we're currently, the brew house, the brewing system itself is being built in transit to us. We are looking at a tentative opening date of late May, early June.
All right.
With
good
actual,
timing.
With actual beer service. Yeah, perfect time for
it
summer.
It is perfect timing.
So,
which may be here someday.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We're supposed to get snow tomorrow.
I know. Sleet and everything.
but yeah, we're doing some experimenting with what we have here now, and we're going to be ready for when the brew system arrives to go guns blazing and get opening ready.
Sounds so fun. So you will be actually brewing the beer right there.
I will be physically brewing the beer on premises.
That's so fun.
Where the sunken stage was and where I've heard so many stories from my father.
So funny.
I'm seeing it. So I'm on the Facebook page now, and I'm seeing it kind of, you know, in progress. Tell us about this bar that looks very interesting.
So actually, Marcus, one of the partners, decided that he wanted a copper top bar, he went through the pictures or went through some photos what's that site, Pinterest?
Yes.
Oh, Pinterest.
Yeah. He fell in love with the gold and green kind of blending, and he made the decision. He kind of he brought it to everybody, and it came out amazing. It just, it's one of my favorite parts of the restaurant build out.
Fun. Very fun. You actually have a phone call. I'm not sure exactly who he wants to talk to, but this is a regular caller to Food for Thought. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Hey, very good, Carol. How are you?
Very good. Haven't talked to you for a while.
I know. Hopefully everything is okay with everybody.
Yes.
But
yes.
I have a question for your brewmaster.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah.
And, now, you're talking about doing different brews and stuff like that and experimenting. Now, imagine that when you find, you know, three or four or five that you like, you do them in bigger batches. What's like the smallest batch that you could do without, you know, without really wasting it? You know, let's say it doesn't come out right. What's the smallest batch?
Well, that's actually the greatest part about the backyard brewery in general is we have a pilot system, which we're putting a 7-barrel production system on the floor for, you know, our production and bulk beers. But we also have a half-barrel pilot system that we can use specifically for that purpose, for experimenting without investing in a full production load of beer. And that's about 15 gallons, so it's exactly one keg or half barrel as you guys would normally associate it with. So it keeps your costs down. It allows you to kind of take a few more risks with brewing practices and ingredients without really losing money if something doesn't come out the way you want it to. So
okay, so about the size of a keg or whatever, that's pretty good then.
Yeah,
I guess.
About 15 and a half gallons.
Too much. Okay.
It's big enough to put on tap if you want, but it's still small enough to be safe and feasible. So.
Now, is the I didn't hear the about the complete renovations. Is it going to be just the brew pub now, or is it the restaurant, and is it going to be the yard and the backyard, or what?
Well, the yard exists currently and will until backyard kind of gets up and running functionally. There will still be a lot of things that the yard offers currently that will transfer over to the backyard. But in terms of both of them running concurrently, no, we're probably going to be just the backyard brewery once it opens up. But a lot of the menu items that are kind of popular staples will transfer over in one way or another.
You won't get away with not having them.
Yeah.
Believe me.
We need to have
them. All right. Sounds good.
Thanks,
Pat. Thank you very much. I got to get back to work.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, you know, thank you guys so much for coming on. It was great hearing about the yard again, and I can't wait for the backyard brewery to open up. That'll be so fun. So we will... We'll definitely be there. Tracy, we're going to have to go and have a flight.
Let's do
right?
it.
We're going to have to go and have a flight.
Yep. Well, we will offer flights.
Beer, you know, I mean, when I even had that flight, I was like, whoa.
It's amazing how different beers can be when you're trying them all at the same time.
Yes, yes. But I really enjoyed that very much.
Awesome.
So.
Well, come on down.
Well, thank you so much. And we'll see you guys again. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Before we get our next guest on, we can have her come on in. I'm going to talk about the, which I kind of thought was where the, oh, here it is. Today's food holiday. Today's food holiday is National Dining Car Day.
That's interesting. Dining Car Day. So like
diners. You know,
like, so what turned like the, cause that's kind of the history. Tell me some history behind that, how diners kind of came, you know what I'm talking about? They have that look. It has to do with like dining cars,
I guess,
apparently, right?
Wait a minute.
you should know this, Miss Diner Owner.
I really kind of should know this. I'm not very good with my history on all of that, but in 1839 in Paris, he installed kitchens on buses, and he stocked the food from special kitchens he had built with the most modern equipment available. His enterprise failed, and he is just a very obscure footnote in history, apparently. That was when it first came out.
Okay.
And golden age of railroad travel lasted for roughly 75 years with, you know, the dining car. I'm trying to see. It doesn't say anything about the diners, which, being a diner owner, I should know all that, which is horrible.
That's okay. We'll forgive you.
All right. I'll get it maybe for next time.
So did you have anything else before I introduce our next guest?
I didn't. You go right ahead and take that over.
So our next guest has been on before, of course, and this organization is very near and dear to my heart. I work with them, and they are doing some wonderful, wonderful things. So from Girls at Work, Miss Elaine Hamill. Hi, Elaine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So happy to have you here. And she should be good now. And
good?
And you know, it's funny. Now everybody knows that Daryl and I moved to New Boston just a little bit ago, and she's like our next door neighbor.
That's crazy,
isn't that crazy? It was
super
like
crazy.
No way.
Yeah.
I know like so many people around that live right near us. It's like crazy.
So fun. For people who have never heard of Girls at Work, which is it's hard for me to understand because I know so much about it, but I ask people all the time, never heard of it. So tell them about Girls at Work, please, and your mission.
Our mission.
Your mission. It's multifaceted, I know.
It certainly is, yeah. Our mission is to build up every single girl and women as well through building with power tools. And it's an extremely important mission for a bazillion reasons, and I don't have 8 hours here, so I'm going to just...
condense it down just a little bit.
Right. So we currently work with the Manchester School District, and we have an after-school program. And we work with Title I schools, which are schools that serve the majority of the kids or below the poverty level. So with that, the girls we work with, you've got girls who are in really challenging home, quote-unquote, situations where there's not a lot of supervision, there's not a lot of support. A lot of these kids are growing up with a television as their support. And so if you, bigger picture, the increase in brutality toward girls and women in the last 10 years on primetime television is up over 100%. Oh. Mm-hmm. So you take, you know, these programs that are pretty focused on having women as victims, and then you throw in your commercials of, you know, you don't look good enough, here's mm-hmm. some makeup, you don't, you're not the right size, here's a diet. You
need to be a size zero.
Yeah. Right? And so I think there's just this compounding effect of a downward spiral that our girls and our women are facing. And I think for us, I think the best way to explain it is we shove a wedge in that downward spiral and we show them what the hell they're made of. I mean, every little girl we've ever worked with is a force, and they don't know that, but they do. Once they leave,
the way that you guys kind of teach them, just show them that they can be a force, and they find that inner strength is by teaching them to use power tools and build things that they probably didn't feel like they were capable of doing. So talk a little bit about how that process goes and what they come out with besides building a chair or a table or a shelf.
So when they walk into the shop is covered in messages from visitors to the little girls that tell them all this positive affirmation. And so they have to walk around the room quietly and read the walls. And then when they find their favorite message, they have to raise their hand. And so then I just go around the room. This is the first class. I just go around the room and I just point, boom, boom, boom. And every one of them reads out loud what their favorite message is. And then, you know, by the time you're done with just that exercise itself, they're just already bigger. And so, you know, the fact that they've just walked into a room that's all power tools that says no to every little girl that comes there. And, you know, every class, there's one little girl at least, if not more, that says, wait, this is for girls? Right? It's that whole mind shift of, wait, what? Like, because it's not a message we give our girls. I mean, our society doesn't send them powerful messages or help them understand how powerful they are. So it's just, you know, so you get the mental mindset shifted from the readings, and then you give them power tools. I mean, it's just you build upon the experience they just mentally had, and now they're physically using power tools. It's just huge. And they leave with so much more than a project. They leave with it's a game changer. They've taught themselves, or they've exposed themselves to that little force that's in there. And they leave feeling like a bunch of little, I can't say that. They leave feeling.
Badasses.
I can say that.
Well, there you go.
Seriously.
Right?
Like badasses. Like I mean, I would love to change our tagline to "We Create Monsters," but yeah, a lot of people wouldn't get it. But I mean, if you think about it, right, our society is so fractured right now, and so many groups, whether it's immigrants or refugees or girls, they're all falling through the cracks. And I feel like if you build them up big enough, they're not going to fit. And that's just...
I love that. They're not going to fit and fall through the cracks. I love it.
Oh, my God, no. I mean, it's just a game changer.
So for some people listening right now, you know, like how does, you know, is it certain ages in the Manchester School District? Is it a grade? Is it like how do, like who are you working with now? It's an after-school program, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we work with the majority of the girls are 8, 9, and 10. We do have a couple.
Littlest ones. The one I saw one time was the tiniest little thing. I mean, she looked like she was six, and to see her yielding, you know, wielding this, you know, power, you know, drill and building stuff, it just warms your heart. These tiny little girls. So yeah.
Pretty stinking cute. Yeah. We had a group in, we have a lot of Girl Scout groups come through. We had a group of 6.5 and 7 year olds recently, and most of them didn't have front teeth.
That's so cute.
And, so of course the parents show up, and I keep the parents in the common area. I don't take them into the shop. They'll have a heart attack. But, and then the parents leave, and then I take the girls in the shop, and they built their own cookie booth to sell cookies.
Oh my gosh.
So the parents came back to pick them up, and they were in the common area putting this thing together because it was pretty big, and they all had their own screw guns, you know, 6.5 and 7 doing their, and I'm not doing a thing. I'm just standing there watching, and because they got it going on. It doesn't take long to figure out how to do this stuff. And the parents walk in, and the parents kind of did one of these.
Her eyes are huge right now.
Big, right? Like speechless. They were speechless.
They were. And it was almost like their brains were misfiring. Like, wait, like, it's just so surreal for them to see their daughters as powerful because they're 6.5 and 7. But mm-hmm. they are. Every little girl we've ever worked with.
And what I love that you guys do is you do teach them, obviously. You're teaching them how to do it. And you really are very, very stressed on safety. And I know that's important. But one of the things that I noticed that you really don't provide step-by-step instructions.
Oh, God, no.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, because in our school system, I mean, our kids aren't critically thinking for themselves anymore. You know, I mean, helicopter parents have changed to snowblower parents, so you, God forbid you have snow on their feet. Well, I'm all about throwing the snow in their face. Like, they need to know they can handle stuff. And, you know, it's interesting because we have the 8 and 9 year olds and 10 year olds, but we have two middle schools right now, and we just finished with two middle schools, and the middle school girls can't take the pressure. I mean, we push them pretty hard. You have to show them what they're made of mm-hmm. to get them through to the end of the project. Middle school girls can't handle the pressure. They have too much going on, and it's just, you know, they'd rather be on their phones, and it's, so I think we're going to focus more on the younger ages because we got to get them
before they get to that point.
Before they get to that point, because it's harder to reach the older girls because there's so many messages sent to them that say they're powerless. So you got to push through that stuff with the older girls. The little girls, it's really easy to turn them into a bunch of little badasses. It just happens. But we're going to do, so we just had a very cool fundraiser at LaBelle Winery, and we raised enough revenue.
I was there. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was very cool. How come you weren't there?
I know.
How come she wasn't there?
Maybe because it was sold out.
A month before the event, there's that.
Yeah.
We've got another one coming up.
She's my neighbor, though.
We've got another one coming up June 29th.
Cool. Another Diva Night?
A wine tasting event.
Cool.
Oh. A little bit yuppier, but is yuppier a word? Yuppier is a word, isn't it? But in the North Country, so we'll stay tuned. But we raised enough revenue to offer our after school girls 4 weeks of summer camp at our mm-hmm. shop. Yeah, they're off the wall. It's going to be awesome. And we're actually going to offer additional dates for girls who haven't gone through the school system, and they can sign up. We'll have a few days sorted for girls to sign up who haven't been through this program, the after school program, so we can reach more than just the title.
They'll have the opportunity to do the summer, is what you're saying.
Yeah, not the 4 weeks for the after school girls because they all have the experience now, so we can step it up a notch because they'll build Adirondack chairs this summer.
That's amazing.
Right? Super cool. Yep. But so we'll do additional classes for girls who aren't in the school district with us now. Because we've had a lot of requests lately. But our women's classes are ramping up, too.
That's what I was going to ask about. Do we have to take a break?
You know what? We need to take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about that. Is what we're going to talk about when we come back. And you are listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. We have Elaine Hamill in, the head honcho of Girls at Work. You can check them out on the web at girlswork.org. It is a fantastic organization. Check out the website and just check out what they do. But stay tuned because we're going to be back and we're going to talk about the women's program that they do. So stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. We are in studio with Elaine Hamill from Girls at Work. Their workshop is over on South Elm Street, right in the, what is that church, Elaine?
Blessed Sacrament.
Blessed Sacrament. Blessed Sacrament, right on the corner of Queen City and Elm.
We're not in the church, though.
But, well, not in the church, but
the
around
building next to it.
Next door.
Yeah.
To the church.
But it's part of the church, isn't it?
It used to be in the school.
Oh,
it used to be Blessed Sacrament School, yeah.
Okay.
It used to be a school. Now it's a woodworking school.
Now it's
and above it is
workshop.
The
American Canadian Genealogical Society.
Yeah, so that sign is out front. It's
okay,
in that building.
So see, I thought that it was still connected to the church, but okay. I get it.
And just to mention the shop real quick, Timberland has come in a couple times and really helped make it look great and painted and decorated and build some stuff outside. So they've done a great job. Well, everybody all together has done a great job. So women's classes. So what I was going to ask before we went to break is we're talking about the lives that you change, for girls. And obviously the main purpose I would think of the women's classes is to, as a fundraiser, to help so you can continue to help little girls and build little girls up. But I know that there is a much more important part of just doing the women's classes, and that you change their lives as well. Women who never in a million years thought that they could touch power tools and that they could build things. And you see the fear on their faces when they've never done it. And for me, that was different because I've never been afraid to do that, and I always learned it. But Carol, you never really had done that stuff before, and you've taken a class. So let's talk about what you can do for women. Besides women coming in helping the organization, they can get help too, really. They leave with feeling powerful, yes. She's shaking her head.
Let's talk about your experience. How was your experience?
Well, you know, when I first met you, a while ago when you came on to Food for Thought, I was like, I got to take one of these classes. And I did. And, I mean, I went right out and I have my own pink tools now.
Yep.
And Daryl is not allowed to touch them. When he needs a measuring tape, he'll go to my toolbox. I have a toolbox and everything. And it's pink camo. And my drills are all pink and everything. And I'm like, you're not touching them. So he knows now not to touch them. But no, I absolutely loved it. As a matter of fact, I am in the April 22nd class.
Are you really?
Signed up and paid, and I'm in the trellis class. Did you see that? You make a trellis.
Yes. Yes, I have seen the trellis because Kobe helped to, my son helped on his spring break to help build some of the things for the auction for the Diva Night. And
cool.
So I've seen the trellis all built. It's amazing. So
anybody wants
to build a little trellis, and it's got built in like little.
Yeah, little boxes.
Boxes on the sides.
Well, you can get as creative as you'd like. It's yeah.
I can't wait. I mean, we have our new house, and it's going to go right at my new house, and I'm very excited. So anybody out there listening that wants to join me for that class, you have three classes, I believe, coming up for that. There's one April 8th, the 22nd, and then May something. But you
look
can go
at
to
Carol
Girls
knowing that right off the top of her head.
I don't even know that.
They can go to Girls Work.
Girlswork.org
to sign up for them.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, but no, fun. I mean, that class, you know what my favorite part was? Was the nail thing?
Oh, the nail gun! Oh yeah, that's a new favorite. Yeah,
I love the sound really effects. Cool. That does give you a lot of power when you're using something that's connected to an air compressor, and it just boom. It's like
it's a big deal.
Good.
It is a big deal.
Well, and I introduced that a few months ago, and I didn't realize the impact it would have.
Ba-dum-bum impact. Sorry, that was
there's
bad.
That. But I mean, you know, it's so ironic because, you know, like you said, yeah, it is a fundraiser for the revenue generated supports the after school program and the summer programs. But you know, lately I've kind of seen bigger picture. It's our girls need to see women as powerful, because our moms are taking these projects home and the kids don't believe they built them. And that's a real problem, because I think, you know, that saying, if you can't see it, you can't be it. I mean, if our girls aren't seeing the women in their lives, the moms, as powerful,
doing that. Exactly.
That's a problem. That's a real problem. And so our women's classes, yeah, I mean, women come in filled with fear. I mean, that's the difference between girls and women. Women have a tremendous amount of fear, and they've had a lifetime being told they can't use this stuff. But I tell you, they don't believe that when they leave. We had an 82-year-old woman in a class. Yeah, 82.
Mm-hmm. I love this story.
And, yeah, this just is a great story. She, they moved back to the state because her husband had gotten sick and their son lived here. And so she wanted to be with her son to have help with her husband. And so she'd taken a class. This was when classes were in New Boston. Excuse me. And she finished before anyone and disappeared. And you know, everyone asked where she'd gone, and I didn't realize she'd left. I was, you know, kind of busy. And so I'd seen her a couple months later at an event I was speaking at, and she was in the back of the room. And so after the event, I went up to her and said, "Where did you go?" And she said, "Oh, I was so afraid to leave my husband alone that long." I said, "Oh, my God, that's right. How's he doing?" And she said, "He passed." And I said, "I'm so sorry." And she just kind of shrugged it off like, "Oh, don't be." She said, "When I got home with," it was a bench we built in that class. She said, "When I got home with my bench," it's not a garden bench, it's in my living room. She said, "I would look at my bench and I would look at him and think, why have I relied on him for so much for so long?" She said, "Do you know, when he passed, it was easier on me because I knew I could do so much."
Oh.
Okay, she spent 4 hours with us. Yeah. Like, seriously, mm-hmm. like I'm not doing this. Women are, I'm setting up an environment where they can come in and be reminded, if they don't already know, of what the hell they're made of. I mean, women are such a force. I mean, how many?
That's amazing.
Right?
Wow.
And so now we do team building too. So we do it with businesses.
Yeah, I know. That's really neat.
So we do it with men and women. And so the last one we did was in Boston. We had 50 folks sign up. So we had men and women sign up, and we had 8 piles of lumber. Everything's pre-cut. So we had piles of lumber with screw guns and screws and tape measures and squares. And so we put it out on our social media channels. So any nonprofit in the area, if they could use a picnic table, we place them with these nonprofits in the area they're built in. But it's awesome because the adults are horrified. And so I give them a few stories and tell them why we're doing what we're doing. And then before we get started, I say, "Are there any questions?" And, you know, every hand goes up and they say, "Are there any prints?" And I said, "Oh, you mean like blueprints, like drawings?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh my God, no." I said, "I'm going to kick your butt like I do with the kids." I said, "You need to know." I mean, they just turn white as ghosts. They're horrified.
I love it.
And we had a company in Boston called Press Pass TV who take kids off the streets, teach them how to do video work. How cool is that? So they did a video for us at this gig in Boston. And one of the guys, as we were leaving, he said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And he said, "That was the coolest thing I think I've ever filmed." And he said, "But I don't think you realize how horrified these people were." Because he pulled separate people into a room and interviewed them just to get some feedback. And he said, "They're horrified." And I said, "That's awesome." Because in the end, the selfies, I mean, you'd think they built the Eiffel Tower. That's how good they feel about themselves. So
that is so awesome.
Right?
That is really
so, but,
awesome.
But a team building experience, you want to talk intense team building experience, you can, and I switch up the teams the whole time because a leader always emerges from every group. So I'll pull the leader and I'll say, "Can you come with me for a minute?" And they'll look at their team and they'll say, "I'll be right back." And I look at the team, I say, "No, they won't." And I put them on a different team because you constantly switch them around.
Yeah.
It's the same scenario at work, right? You're losing people, you're gaining people. You have to rely on yourself or your new team or members you lost. So there's a lot of parallels with figuring out that you can do anything. Anything, really.
That's right. That is right.
Now, before we run out of time, tell anyone who's listening that might want to, besides taking a women class, might really, you know, and feel, what's the word I'm looking for? Pressed to help you or to donate or to volunteer or just become involved. Tell us how they would do that.
You can visit any of our social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, our website, any of those you can.
And I also have a way. The very famous Hippo de Mayo Taco Tour is coming. And
again, sweet.
Yes, it's in May. It's a huge event, and just stay tuned with that and make sure when you go out for tacos that night, you come and have a bunch of them at the Red Arrow because you are our choice for our charity.
Yay!
So
yeah, baby.
So yeah.
Did you just learn that just now?
I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You did it last year. It was awesome.
Yes, it was good.
I know. And our treasurer went, and she's like, "Elaine, you've got to come." She said, "I don't know where you're going to park or if you're going to fit." But she was so into it. It was really cute.
Well, thanks for coming on, Elaine.
Thank
it's always
you.
Great to hear from
Up
you.
Up next, Kale and Company and Tracy, and I'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody. Thank you, Elaine.